to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Will you pray with me? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a place where I love to go, and it came to be a part of the Lutheran Church here in Southern California in the mid-1960s when some congregations got together and discerned together, we need a camp for our young people to experience God's creation, to connect even more with one another, to learn about the Bible and all the great stories in it, and to serve in Christian love. We need a camp. And with that, the Lutheran Church was able to acquire some couple dozen acres of land in the San Bernardino Mountains, and they named the place that at that time, Ulidua. Ulidua, which was meant to sound like a Native American name, but it also was cleverly standing for, shortened up, but standing for Youth Living Jesus Way. Fundraisers were happening all over the Synod. Some of you were probably part of that. All over Southern California, actually. People getting involved. And more than just financial resource came the camp's way. Work parties started to assemble all over as members of churches, often youth groups and men's groups, would go up to camp. They would drive whatever they needed to drive to get up to the San Bernardino Mountains, and outside groups would get involved as well, other charities. The Synod backed the whole endeavor. So did the National Lutheran Church, which was so exciting. Everyone is rallying together, and slowly but surely, cabins started to get built. A dining hall pops up after lots of work and lots of fundraising. Outdoor chapels all over the area with big long logs that served as the pews that people would sit on. Before long, Camp Ulidua of the Lutheran Church in Southern California was an active, thriving, booming ministry of the ELCA. Some of you in this congregation were involved even as kids, right? I know Judy Ellingson was a camp counselor at Camp Ulidua. Anybody else a counselor at one point at Camp Ulidua? Many of you sent your children to Ulidua. I know that Heather grew up going to Ulidua every summer, and in the fall she would go to Apple Days. Lots and lots of really great memories at Camp Ulidua. But the glory years of the 1970s and 1980s, the energy and the excitement around camp as other newer, flashier camps came to be better options for lots of church families, the hype and the involvement and the support, it started to fade a little bit as the years passed. And by the time we got to the 90s, those were some really tough years for Camp Ulidua. A rivalry, even, with the other Lutheran camp started to form in Southern California, and camp staff and congregations, even pastors, would talk trash about the other camp that wasn't their favorite one. And I actually heard someone say to me one time, Yalidua is a waste of time and money. By the early 2000s, that's about the time I got ordained and became a pastor, Yalidua, I think it's safe to say, was hanging on by a thin string. It didn't help that the camp's name was a made-up Indian word that sort of didn't rub well for lots of people. A few loyal supporters were coming out for the work days, but the writing was on the wall, and death was inevitable. Everyone who had once been really excited about the place had either died or turned their attention and their financial resources somewhere else that was more interesting and perhaps more promising. In short, I guess you could say that Camp Yalidua was a valley of dry bones. I remember talks about the place needing to close. I remember talks not too long ago about needing to maybe sell the land so that new ministries in the church can rise up. But there were also, at that time, just a few years ago, some ideas about reimagining, redeveloping, reviving Camp Yalidua. But that would have meant lots of faith to take a bold step like that. That would mean lots of newness. This wasn't just going to be some kind of resuscitation. Rather, this would need to be a resurrection. There's a difference, you see. There's a difference between resuscitation, you know, think of those paddles, and resurrection. Does anybody ever watch The Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for your honesty. You can admit this in church, The Walking Dead. This is the AMC action drama TV show about zombies. But of course, for all of us who watch The Walking Dead, we say, oh, it's not about zombies. It's about people. It's about interactions and sort of the heart of human nature. It's about zombies. Let's be honest. The idea of zombies, of course, is that after they die, they come back to life. I put that in quotes. But they're still dead. They're walking around. They limp around and they groan horrifically and basically just eat flesh and cause more death. It's a great show. The leaders of this project, back to camp, the leaders of this project were not about to just resuscitate the camp, to go and limp around for a few more years. It's a great lesson, actually, in redeveloping congregations, too. It's not just about resuscitation. Yeah, it's alive in that it moves, but God is about resurrection, not just resuscitation. For camp, the first thing that meant was that the name of the whole place was going to need to change. And a daring new concept, which when it came before the Synod Assembly in 2013, some of you were at that assembly, it was here in San Diego, I remember, it actually got booed out loud. I'll never forget the executive director, Pastor Egertson, getting up to the microphone to announce this exciting, new, bold, daring endeavor that our churches, together with God's guidance and the Holy Spirit's breath in our midst, we were about the work of resurrecting a dying camp. And he announced at that time that the new name of this place would henceforth be Luther Glen. And he got booed. Boo! Everyone said. I couldn't believe it. Pastor Egerson was so calm, I remember. And he just said, now, let's not let nostalgia be the death of us. Let's not let nostalgia be the death of us, he said. It's time to step out boldly in faith, to trust the Holy Spirit's movement, to give thanks to God for what was, and to lean now into what is to come. This new project, which includes the camp and the retreat center, but now we're going to bring a farm to Luther Glen. Luther Glen was developing a new concept of hiring a farmer and raising animals and crops, having chickens with eggs, maybe even a brewery one day. The retreat center could be not just a retreat center for congregation councils, as we had used it before, but maybe also the retreat center could become a venue for weddings, A place where people could take a solo retreat in their own spiritual journeys. Outside groups, not just Lutheran groups, could come in and use the retreat center. Children could learn those Bible stories, those stories about sheep and goats and pigs, while they're actually petting real sheep and goats and pigs. Can you imagine? It was a risky endeavor. First of all, because no one in Southern California knows anything about farming anymore. But it didn't matter. The spirit was stirring. A shoot from the stump was growing. The valley of dry bones was rattling. Resurrection, not just resuscitation. It doesn't always get cheers, however. Nevertheless, it took off from there. Even with some resistance and some naysayers, that'll never work. Energy and new life and new leadership, new staff, new connections were being made. New baby animals are being born all the time before long. You can see pictures, by the way, and read stories about Luther Glen Farm on the blog. Some of the animals are actually coming here this week from Luther Glen. We're going to have, for the first time ever at Shepherd of the Valley ABC Barn, a live nativity on Thursday. We've always had Santa Claus here. We're also going to have, we're going to have Santa Claus, but we're also going to have a live nativity out on the patio, and so kids are going to be able to pet these animals, to see a little Mary and Joseph. It's really going to be wonderful. Staff members, like Nate, by the way, I wrote this sermon before Nate was going to come here today, so it works out well. He can check my facts here and my history, but Nate is the head director now of Camp Luther Glen, which is so wonderful. And there are staff members like Nate all over the synod, even this morning, all over the place, reaching out, building new connections, building new relationships. Our kids are recognizing them and are excited when they see them. There's all this new life, and it's not just camp either. Camp Luther Glen and other camps are sending kids down to Mexico to serve in orphanages where they can learn about border issues, where they can reach out and take care of other people, even with risk. There's surf camp and day camps at our churches. There are retreats all over Southern California because of Luther Glen. And of course, there is farming and gardening instruction for all of our young people to learn about the abundance of God's creation and where our food comes from. There's even a Brew Boldly beer brewing weekend in the fall now at Camp Luther Glen. I'm just scratching the surface here. And I want to say, too, that it's not always pretty. It's not always easy. There's plenty of issues to deal with. For one, farming is tough. But what occurs to me, thinking back and rehearsing this long story about Camp Luther Glen, what occurs to me that this place that our kids now love and find it to just be this rockin' place every summer, they look forward to going to camp. Our quilters go in the springtime and in the early part of the summer, every year go up to camp. What occurs to me is that death needed to happen in order for a new life to emerge. There had to have been a valley of dry bones in order for those dancing bodies to emerge. Resurrection comes. Christ comes when we are the most dried out, when we are the most empty, when we're even dead. This is where God enters into our reality. When things are falling apart, even dying, sisters and brothers in Christ, that's precisely where the Holy Spirit is stirring the most. Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones, those bones coming together, is a vision of hope amidst not a little bit of life and some good things going on. Ezekiel's valley of dry bones is a vision of hope amidst total despair and death. Total despair and death. Life comes out of that. The little vine grows out of the stump. Thought it was dead. Ezekiel prophesied these things when his own people were in exile, far away in Babylon. So that Advent song is perfect. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile. God says in this text, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. This is what God says to the bones. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. When the Holy Spirit gets involved, when God's very Spirit breathes into our mortal bodies, mourning and loneliness, even death itself, cannot stop us. And that doesn't just mean that we get a pulse back. That means something new is coming forth. God connects our bones together, not in the way it always was, but in a new way. God covers and sews us together with new muscle and new flesh and new breath. And we're not the same as we once were, just like the camp. We're even given new names, just like the camp. Names that might just elicit a boo from us because they're not the names we've always known. And we don't like the unknown sometimes. But God gives us the right name for this day. God gives us the name Child of God. God gives us the name Beloved. God gives us the name Baptized. God gives us the name Sent to Welcome the Outsider and Love the Enemy. How do you like your new name? That's your new name, Sent to Love the Outsider and Love the Enemy. What do you think of your new name? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "Hello, Sent to Welcome the Outsider and Love the Enemy"? Do it. Go ahead. Hello. Hello, Sent to Welcome the Outsider and Love the Enemy. That's your new name. What do you think of your new name? What do you think of your new name? Boo. Let's not let nostalgia be the death of us. It's time to step out boldly in Advent faith to give thanks to God for what was. Thank you, God, for everything that was. And now help us, God, to lean into what is to come, because a baby is arriving. A baby arrives. A baby is born on a farm amid goats and sheep and pigs. This is new hope. New life. This is resurrection. God comes down to be with us in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!